With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
You know, the Apostle Paul in this text greatly convicts me. He talks about how he was selfless in the ministry in order that he might give to the spiritually poor and the physically poor. He talked about how he had ordered his life according to necessities, not wants. I worked hard to handle the necessities of my life, and not only mine, but those that are with me. And he gives, and he calls others to give. Then he gives this statement, it's more blessed to give than to receive.
Welcome, and stay with us as Dr. Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Harry Reeder brings us part one of the message, Giving and the Promise of Multiple Blessing. We probably feel blessed when you unexpectedly receive some money, a nice gift, or an act of kindness. But in Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul quoted Jesus as saying, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." By this, Jesus affirms three important biblical truths. Receiving from the Lord in your life is a blessing. Giving to the Lord and to others is a blessing. And giving not only brings blessings, but multiplies even more blessings. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 20. We're focusing on verses 31 through 35. Here again is Harry Reeder with part one of the message, Giving and the Promise of Multiple Blessing.
Now, if you'll look with me in Acts chapter 20, and again, the sermon begins in verse 17, this charge to the elders, but I'm only going to read for our focus this morning, verses 31 through 35. Would you look with me? God's word, inspired, inerrant, and infallible. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this manner, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. He himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The grass withers, the flower fades, God's word abides forever. By his grace and mercy, may his word be preached for you. Well, there were many things that I knew coming to be the pastor at Briarwood. I knew that would be somewhat challenging for me. And one of those was the elders and deacons set me aside and told me about every member canvas that we now call every member commitment. That is a season of the year that the elders and deacons, prior to budgeting for the next year, for the congregation to pray through their stewardship of their time, their talents, and their treasure. And so I knew we did that. And let me tell you that at first it was a little intimidating because we didn't do that at Christ Covenant where I serve. But I will tell you this, after the first 2 to 3 years, if I could go back and redo it, we would be doing it at Christ Covenant. Let me tell you why. I've become very grateful for this season for a couple of reasons. Now, I know in the preaching of the word, we're going to deal with the issue of stewardship as we work our way through passages of scripture because it's built throughout the Bible. But to be able to take a season, a moment, a couple of weeks, and look at this issue became somewhat something that, first of all, was personally gratifying to me. To be able to sit down, Cindy and I, and to think through, okay, how, let's do some evaluation in this commitment. How are we doing with our time? Are we starting at the first place of effectiveness, the Lord's Day? And then what are we doing with the other days? And are we wasting time? Precious time that we only get one shot at. When a day's done, it's done. Redeeming the time. And I was so grateful for that personally. I was grateful for that to be able to teach it to my children as well as Cindy and I to walk through it. I was grateful for it to look at my talents, not many on the physical side of things, but spiritual talents and spiritual gifts. Am I taking my time to invest my talents in a way that extends the kingdom of God as a steward? And then what about our resources? What can we do? You know, the Apostle Paul in this text greatly convicts me. He talks about how he was selfless in the ministry in order that he might give to the spiritually poor and the physically poor. He talked about how he had ordered his life according to necessities, not wants. I worked hard to handle the necessities of my life, and not only mine, but those that are with me. And he gives, and he calls others to give. And then he gives this statement, it's more blessed to give than to receive, as a quotation from Christ. So to be able to do this personally in my life, what are my priorities? Where am I at with my time, my talents? And how can we maximize our resources for the sake of the kingdom? So that was a blessing. It was a blessing to teach my children, so I thank the elders and deacons for calling for this. Now it's a blessing to watch my children teach their children and watch them work through the issues, as well as to see you pastorally, not only personally, but pastorally, it's a blessing. It's a blessing because I know this represents something. You see, the elders and deacons are calling us to look at our stewardship, every member, commitment of our stewardship. And then as you give information to them, they then, underneath the policies that they have put in place, which is not simply a church that tithes, but a church that will take the resources that are given, and over 50% will leave here for missions, benevolence, mercy, church planting, church revitalization, evangelism, discipleship, things, causes outside of here. Over 50%. The policy is 50%, but it always ends up over once you do the alms offering at communion and faith promise giving and then the budget here. It always ends up like that, what they do with anything that comes in addition at the end of the year. So I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that we have learned as a church to give, but we want to do so responsibly. So they're wanting to plan this with the information you have prayerfully sought before the Lord to bring your stewardship of time and talents and treasures to them. Let me give you another reason why I'm glad they've done it. I'm glad they've done it because it gives us a chance to focus on one of the most challenging but rewarding dimensions of discipleship, and that's stewardship. I've got a little sermon series that I'm working on. I don't know if and when I'll ever get an opportunity to preach it or write about it, but it's called The Seven S's of the Saved for Their Identity. There's a lot of conversation in this world in this day and time about identity. What is our identity? How do you identify? Well, the Christian identifies with Christ. But God gives us some identities as Christians, saved Christians. What are our identities? I call it the seven S's. Number one, he calls you to be a soldier. A soldier for Christ. You got a mission, you got a calling, weapons of the Spirit, you've got a mission to achieve. He calls us soldiers. Secondly, he calls us servants. We are servants of Christ, soldiers for Christ, servants of Christ. Thirdly, we're sinners. Saved? Yes, but sinners. In fact, the Bible says if any man says he has not sinned, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. Fourthly, we're saints. We're sinners and saints. We are saints by the blood of Christ that has cleansed us, the righteousness of Christ that has clothed us, the Spirit of Christ who has set us apart, saints, sanctified, set apart to Christ. We're students. Study to show yourself approved as a workman who does not need to be ashamed. Sixthly, we're supplicants. We learn how to pray. He teaches us how to make supplication. Seventhly, we're stewards. Now, brothers and sisters, it is my humble opinion that when we address the issue of stewardship, there are two things that I believe about this dynamic of discipleship that the Bible calls stewardship. Now, also, be patient with me. Y'all know that the elders have approved our ministry theme, lifestyle stewardship. And now I've got to do this one little sermon on stewardship, and I've been studying for 3 months on this. You have no idea of how much I left on the cutting room floor trying to work through this morning, because I want to preach the whole thing. I want to preach on all next year. I mean, stewardship is pervasive. Stewardship is pervasive in every area of life. When you understand that God made everything, therefore God is the proprietary owner of everything, I own nothing, I only am put in charge, and the last thing I want to be is the prodigal. When the father gave him his inheritance, he abused it and misused it, as we say, wine, women, and song, in riotous living. God, what does it mean for you to have made everything and trusted some things to us and for me to use it, ordered my steps by your word? What does that mean? That whole dimension of stewardship. But here, just today, I want us to at least think about these two opinions I have about stewardship. Here's the first one. Other than worship. This element of discipleship, stewardship, other than worship, I believe is the most, this element of discipleship we call stewardship, other than worship, brings more focus and more attention to the gospel in our lives than any other dimension. Now, worship is dependent upon you understanding the gospel, being motivated by the gospel, and being changed from self-absorption to God giving God glory. Other than worship, I believe stewardship. Our giving is a reflection of what we think has been given to us in the gospel. Our giving is framed, the contours of stewardship are directly dependent upon our understanding and embrace of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you want to know what, let me put it in the other side. If you want to know what we really think about the gospel, all you have to do is look at our stewardship. It's a reflection of it. It is framed by it. It is motivated by our understanding of the gospel. And what the gospel means to us will show up in our stewardship and how we embrace that dynamic of stewardship. Let me give you another opinion. Other than evangelism, there is no other dynamic in discipleship. Other than evangelism, there is no other dynamic in discipleship that is more challenging to begin and more delightfully rewarding once it's been embraced than stewardship. And I know how tough it is to start sharing the gospel with people, personal evangelism. But once you do, isn't it rewarding? Are any of y'all doing that? Other than evangelism, I don't know any other element of discipleship beyond stewardship itself that is more challenging to begin. Hard to get started. All of the old man and the cultural currents are headwinds against stewardship. It's challenging to begin, but once you do, there's very little that is more delightful in the Christian life than stewardship of this time and talents and treasure. Well, what I would ask you to do is to take a look at this text with me, and let's see what Paul gives us. Now, you see Paul's stewardship, selfless, giving, working hard, taking what he works, not for self-promotion. He works, he has a budget built around necessities. You see all of that, but then he gives us this quote from Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Let me ask you a question. Where is that quote come from? Does anyone know? Where does it come from? Please say, I don't know. Because you won't find it in the Gospels. So where did Paul get it? Because he's clearly quoting Jesus. He himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Where did he get it? I think you got three possibilities. Let me give you three possibilities. Number one, he got it from the apostles who heard it from Jesus, and they communicated it to him. You know, Paul had trips to Jerusalem in which he intermingled with the apostles. Perhaps they had heard Jesus say it. Now, what's interesting is none of those who wrote the Gospels were moved by the Spirit to include it in the Gospels. Whenever Jesus said it, I believe he said it because Paul says he said it. But whenever he said it, I have no idea because the Gospels never quote him as having said it. But Paul tells us he did say it. Well, if Jesus said it, then the apostles must have heard it. How would Paul have known about it? Well, let me suggest the apostles heard it, and while they were not moved by the Spirit to put it in the Gospels, they were moved in the discipleship of Paul to give it to him, and the Holy Spirit moved him to give it to us in Acts 20. And that was the plan of how to get this quote of Jesus to you. Now, this wouldn't be unusual, would it? Two times in the Gospel of John, John 21:25, we're told that many things Jesus said, and if we recorded them all, the whole world would not be able to contain the books. So there was not only this quote, but many other quotes. So one possibility is Jesus said it. It's not recorded in the Gospels, but the apostles who heard it gave it to Paul, and Paul, inspired by the Spirit, records it for us here and used it in his teaching and discipling ministry. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Well, let me give you a second part, is that this really wasn't a quote. This is a distillation or a summation. You remember what you just did in the, you just did a confession from Matthew chapter 10? In which he said, what does it say in Matthew 10? As Jesus sends his disciples out on this ministry to Israel, the initial movement of the gospel, first to the house of Israel, he sent them out. He said, now don't build your budget on what you want. Just go out, be ready to give up everything. And then he said this, freely you have received, freely shall you give. That's about as close to it as I can find. Freely you've received, freely shall you give. And then you take that and you join it with Luke chapter 6. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, overflowing. Full measure. So maybe what Paul has done is aware of these two teachings of Jesus, put them together in a distillation and a summation. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Thirdly, let me give you a third possibility. The Bible tells us, Paul informs us, that part of his training as an apostle was done by Jesus with him personally in the wilderness for 3 years. Maybe that's where he gave it to him. That Jesus gave the quote then to him. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So, Pastor, what do you think? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'll go ahead and tell you what I think. I don't think the answer is number two. I don't think it was a distillation and a summation because it's not given as a distillation and a summation. It's given as a direct quotation. The Lord himself said, and then it's a quotation that's given, not a summation or a distillation of a series of talks Jesus gave. So I don't think it's number two. Number three, I don't think it's number two. Secondly, I don't think it's number three. Secondly, I don't think it's number three that is given in the wilderness. Could have, but I don't think so because it seems to, the way Paul refers to it, it seems to be some people must have been around to hear it because he said, did not he himself say? Did not he himself, in other words, not something that just privately came to Paul, the report of what Jesus said was out there. So I think it's number one. I think it's something that Jesus said in his ministry that the apostles communicated to Paul and the Holy Spirit implanted upon his heart and became a part of the way that he discipled in the area of stewardship to tell us, listen, when I talk to you about giving, whether it's your time or your talents or your treasure or whatever it is, I want you to remember something. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, what is he saying? What is Jesus saying? First of all, let me ask you a question. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Do you believe that? Well, six of you do. And one of you is my wife. Maybe if I say it this way. Jesus himself said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Do you believe that? Well, that got a better report. You want to know if you believe that? Go look at your calendar. Go look at the record of the Lord's days. Go look at your checkbook. You can find out what you believe is more blessed. Just take a look. This is one of those things that's pretty easily measured. This is one of those things that sometimes reveals a confessional faith that doesn't show up with an operational faith. It's an area that God has convicted me of throughout the years and was hard to get started, but boy, do we love it now. So, what is this statement from Jesus saying? Let me give you three things he's saying, three affirmations he's making. Number one, the first affirmation is this: receiving is a blessing. Receiving from the Lord in your life is a blessing. Did you receive Jesus? That's a blessing. Did you receive salvation? That's a blessing. Did you receive the Holy Spirit? That's a blessing. Did you receive a paycheck? That was a blessing. Well, no, wait a minute, Harry, I worked for that. Oh, you did? And who gave you the strength to work for it? Who gave you the skills to work for it? Who gave you the opportunity with a job to work for it? Who is it but the Lord, who in creation, redemption, and providence gives and gives, and we receive and receive and receive? Folks, I want you to learn, I know many of you have, listen, I understand that. This is just a general exhortation, probably more to me than you. You got to learn to receive. People that can't receive, it's usually one of two reasons. You don't receive because you don't think there's anything to receive. You think you're entitled to it to begin with. We actually have a different catechism. We don't have a catechism that starts with what is the chief end of man, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. We have a catechism that begins this way. What is the chief end of God? To give me what I want. Therefore, we can't receive because we think we're entitled. And you never know the joy of thanksgiving. The beginning point of stewardship, the giving of thanks. Secondly, some of us don't receive and don't get the blessing of receiving and rob other people of the blessing of giving because of our pride and our arrogance. I'm just not going to be beholden. Can I just clue you in on this? You're already beholden to a dad and a mom, to the God of glory. To Christ, you're already beholden. Say no to pride. Say no. I understand the issue of self-respect. That's another issue. But say no to pride. Say no to arrogance so that you can know the blessing of receiving. Receiving is a blessing. Learn how to receive. Not entitlement, not pride. How to receive, to praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Secondly, second affirmation from the text, giving is a blessing. Not only is receiving a blessing, giving is a blessing. My favorite illustration of this, I'm actually beholden to Bruce on this one, who kind of gave me the challenge thinking through it. That was about 3 or 4 years ago. We were thinking about, you remember when Jesus fed all the multitudes, 4,000, 5,000, remember that? Remember, in each case he used what? Fishes and loaves. And that was just counting the men. So we're talking about feeding probably 8,000-9,000 people. And then you remember when the little boy comes up and, well, I got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And the Lord blessed it, as I'm about to do at the end of this service in just a few moments. I am going to bless, ask the Lord's blessing on your every member commitment. Well, he blessed it, and guess what happened? Now you know why we sing that song that I learned to sing, my granddaddy taught me. Little is much when God is in it. 2 fishes, 5 loaves, fed everybody, and we had left over 12 baskets.
In saying it is more blessed to give than to receive, Jesus affirms 3 important biblical truths. Receiving from the Lord in your life is a blessing. Giving to the Lord and to others is a blessing. And giving not only brings blessings, but multiplies even more blessings. If you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's M Perspective was taken, write and request Giving and the Promise of Multiple Blessing, or simply ask for message number 15185. Again, that's message number 15185. We do request a gift of $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD, which includes shipping and handling. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243, or email inperspective@briarwood.org. The 20th century saw historic biblical Christianity at war with unbiblical theological liberalism, and the spread of contemporary progressive Christianity in today's evangelical church is the 21st century version of this ongoing spiritual battle. Just like the liberal Christianity before it, contemporary progressive Christianity is actually anti-Christian, claiming to rescue Christianity from cultural irrelevance while actually undermining and denying biblical truth. Dr. Harry Reeder's 9-part series, Progressive Christianity in Biblical Perspective, will help you understand this dangerous threat to the Christian faith by examining the marks of progressive Christianity and topics such as its motivation, mission, and message, revoice theology, and the tie between progressive Christianity and critical theory. To order this 9-CD album, Progressive Christianity in Biblical Perspective, go online to briarwood.org/progressive CD. This very well might be the most important series you will order this year. That's briarwood.org/progressive CD. Again, our address, In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. Join us again next time as Harry Reeder takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put life in biblical perspective.